जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितामृता एंड इट्स Chapter 13, The Lord's Dancing at Rath Yatra. I think the texts were 62 through 65.
Sarvabhoma Kashi Mishra Duhi Mahasaya
Sarvabhoma Kashi Mishra Duhi Mahasaya
Rajare Prashare Deki Hai Ila Vishmaya
Rajare Prashare Deki Hai Ila Vishmaya
Sarvabhoma Kashi Mishra Duhi Mahasaya Rajare Prashare Deki Aila Vishmaya
Rajare Prashare Deki Aila
Vishmaya Sarvabhoma Kashi Mishra Duhi Mahasaya
Sarvabhoma Kashi Mishra Duhi Mahasaya
Rajare Prashare Deki Aila Vishmaya
Rajare
Translation, when the two great personalities, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Kashi Mishra, saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy upon the king, they were astonished. Does anybody recall what that causeless mercy upon the king was from last week's class? They saw that the king accepted the menial task of sweeping the street. And for his humility, the king received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He could observe the mystery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. So by doing some service, humble service, sweeping the street, he could observe the extraordinary activities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Kashi Mishra experienced their own astonishment when seeing the astonishing activities of King Prataparuja, which are based on the astonishing mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So text number 63, we can chant together.
E mata lila prabhu kaila katasana apane gayana
Dhyan Ekagarana. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes for some time in this way. He personally sang and induced his personal associates to dance. Text 64. Kabu Eka Murti Rabu Kana Pahu Murti Karyavi Nuka Prabhu Parasaya Shakti. According to his need, the Lord sometimes exhibited one form and sometimes many. This was being executed by his internal potency. Text 65. Lile Shrishe Prabhura Nahi Nija Sandra Dana Icha Jani Lila Shakti Kare Samadana. Indeed, the personality of Godhead forgot himself in the course of his transcendental pastimes, but his internal potency, Lila Shakti, knowing the intentions of the Lord, made all arrangements. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is stated in the Upanishads, Parashya Shaktir Vividaya Suryate Svabhavaki Jnanam Balakya Cha. The Supreme Lord has multipotencies which act so perfectly that all consciousness, strength, and activity are being directed solely by his will. Svetastara Upanishad 6.8. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu executed his mystic power in presenting himself simultaneously in each and every Sankirtan group. Most people thought that he was one, but some saw that he was many. The internal devotees could understand that the Lord, although one, was exhibiting himself as many in different Sankirtan groups. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, he forgot himself and was simply absorbed in ecstatic bliss. However, his internal potency arranged everything perfectly. This is the difference between the internal and external potency. In the material world, the external potency, material energy, can act only after one endeavors at great length. But when the Supreme Lord desires, everything is performed automatically by the internal potency. By his will, things happen so nicely and perfectly that they appear to be carried out automatically. Sometimes the activities of the internal potency are exhibited in the material world. In fact, all the activities of material nature are actually performed by the inconceivable energies of the Lord. But so-called scientists and students of material nature are unable to understand ultimately how things are happening. They evasively conclude that everything is being done by nature, but they do not know that behind nature is the potent Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam hetunanena kontaya jagat viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 10. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. So the purport here today introduces a comparative study of the external potency and the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's interesting that in our daily Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam class, we've been studying in the 11th canto, chapter 15, I think it is, the mystic powers that one can attain. Now, it's been made quite clear both by the Srimad Bhagavatam verses translations and purports, as well as by Srila Prabhupada, that these things described in that chapter of the 11th canto are within the realm of material nature, material energy. They're mystic potencies, and they can be very bewildering and quite alluring in their character. But they're ultimately material. Now, the activities that we've been reading in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in this chapter, chapter 13 of the Madhya Lila, may appear to be similar. They may appear to be similar, but they are products of the internal potency, the spiritual energy of the Lord. And so they are fundamentally different, although they may look similar. Now, obviously, they don't look similar to all of you and your great sages, the devotees of the Lord, you can understand. But I think for our edification, building up our strength and conviction in the words of Shastra, as well as for making the distinction for those who may not know or be so familiar with the nature of Krishna, his internal and external potencies, I think it's good to get into the kind of comparative study that the purport today introduces. Because Srimad Bhagavatam goes to great lengths to distinguish between mystic powers that are coming from the material energy and mystic powers that are coming from the spiritual, the internal potency of the Lord. Many examples are given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's start with a couple of them, just again, Ambarish Maharaj and Dravasa Muni. Dravasa Muni, obviously a very experienced and developed Brahmana, sage, mystic. He used his mystic power to create a fiery demon. Does anybody recall how he did that? How he created it? He just pulled one of his hairs out of his head and threw it on the ground, and all of a sudden this fiery demon, you know, was ready to devour Maharaj Ambarish. I don't know if that was described in the 11th canto as one of the mystic powers, but obviously it was some power that he had gained, you know, by his long practice of his long spiritual practice, spiritual activities. And so he produced this fiery demon, but that wasn't all. He displayed other mystic abilities. Does anybody recall what other mystic abilities Dravasa Muni exhibited in his encounter with Ambarish Maharaj?
He didn't know that he broke fast. Right?
Huh? Oh, yeah, he could understand. He could understand by his that something had happened that Ambarish Maharaj had done. That's good. I hadn't thought about that. Yes, we could. That type of perception is a mystic ability.
He could fly without a vehicle,
airplane, right? And even to the spiritual world, right?
Yeah.
And he was able to go all the way to Vaikuntha Loka and talk to Vishnu there. Obviously, quite powerful. But ultimately, he was defeated by Ambarish Maharaj, who was just standing there being a devotee. Just standing there being a devotee, you know, devoted to Krishna, seeking Krishna's protection. He was able to defeat all those, that mystic display of powers of Dravasa Muni. So the lesson is, and there used to be a tape put out by the Bhaktivinoda Tape Ministry, and the title of it was Devotional Service Defeats All Mystic Powers or something like that. And it was Prabhupada lecturing on this pastime. So Ambarish and Jarasa Muni, distinction here between the material abilities, powers, mystic powers of Jarasa Muni, and the devotional qualities coming from the internal potency. Devotional qualities come from the internal potency, correct? That's their origin, not material. So they're able to, even when not exorbitantly exhibited, able to defeat material potencies. Narada Muni visiting the palaces in Dwarka. Now, one of the mystic potencies that we read about in this 11th canto was it there? You can expand your body up to 8 forms or something like that?
Yes.
Mm. That's a mystic perfection that even in the material world here, we can gain. We can expand our body up to 8 forms. But there's a difference, and we read about Krishna in Dwarka, he expanded his body up to 16,108 forms. Now, is it just that he has a greater power that's of the same nature? You know, I can do 8. Well, I can do 16,108. Is it just that the same nature, is the power of the nature the same? No. There's a fundamental difference between the power. And how is it most clearly seen? Those 8, what are those 8? What can those 8 do? What's the limitation of those 8? Yeah, you can expand yourself up to 8 forms, but they're all doing the same thing. They're all raising their hand like that. And but Krishna, what did he do in Dwarka when Narada Muni visited his palaces? 16,108 palaces Narada Muni visited one after another, and he was traveling specifically at the speed of the mind. So he could catch Krishna. You know, you're doing the same thing here as you were doing over there. But he went to all 16,108 palaces, and Krishna was doing a different thing in each place. Yes, different time zone. There's some places it was one season, it was another season in the other place. There's different times of day. You know, it was Narada Muni who is obviously expert in understanding all these mystic potencies. He could see that this was not material in its nature. There was a fundamental difference. One was coming from the spiritual potency, the internal potency of Krishna. There's one other one that I wanted to mention, and this is not in the Srimad Bhagavatam. I guess it's from Mahabharata. And that's about Vishwamitra Muni. Because in the purport here today, it says, it quotes this verse, Parashtra Shaktiva Vidaya Suyate. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains, essentially he's saying, how easy it is for Krishna to display these different potencies, mystic potencies. It's not hard for him to do it. And he doesn't have to endeavor to get those powers either. Vishwamitra Muni, he had some Brahma Tejas, some power, some strength given to him. But how did he attain them?
By meditation.
Yeah, by meditation, by performance of austerity. And that's generally how we get material mystic powers. You have to endeavor very severely for that, and that was mentioned in the verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we studied. So, Vishwamitra, he meditated for a long time, but then he got distracted twice. Didn't it happen to him twice? I was trying to remember today, I was talking with my wife about that. I think twice he was meditating, performing austerities, and one time he got it in Menaka, or some heavenly, and he lost it, you know. So after so many thousands of years of meditating and to get the Brahma Tejas, he lost it, you know, because of Menaka's ankle bells. 60,000 years. 60,000 years meditating.
By the ankle bell.
By the ankle bell, I mean, wow. You feel sorry for but you can understand at the same time. But then he did it again. And I think a second time he was also diverted, you know, from that. But obviously a great sage. I mean, he took Ram with him to the forest and was a guru to Ram and Lakshman. But the point is the nature of the powers were different. Swabhaviki balam, what is it? Swabhaviki gana balakuyacha. It's done very easily, as if automatically, Prabhupada says here. But when the Supreme Lord desires, everything is performed automatically. So that's the difference between material mystic powers and spiritual powers. They're not lost, they're natural, and they're not the result of a great extraneous endeavor. So when we see here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing at the Rath Yatra and exhibiting this potency of being in each of the Sankirtan groups simultaneously. Now, maybe it doesn't describe in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but maybe it's described someplace else, that how he danced differently. But as Dhruva Maharaj last Saturday, he gave the example of how the same thing is in the rasa dance. Krishna's dancing with each individual gopi, although the other gopis couldn't see it. I think the assumption is, and as I said, maybe it's described someplace, but the assumption is that he wasn't just doing the same dance. He was dancing individually in each Sankirtan group, different movements in his dance were there, indicating, again, this is the internal potency of the Lord, which he was exhibiting. And that was astonishing for everyone to see. But it's far from the least, it's far from being the complete expression of the internal potency that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting. So it describes here that he loses himself. Let's just read the verse. Indeed, the personality of Godhead forgot himself in the course of his transcendental pastimes, but by his internal potency, Lila Shakti, knowing the intentions of the Lord, made all arrangements. So this idea of Krishna losing or forgetting himself, it's a very very high subject matter. The Supreme Lord loses himself. A lot of times we might think when we see the pastimes, well, he's just acting like that. He's just acting like a young baby or a young boy in his reciprocation with Mother Yashoda. Or he's just acting in ways with the cowherd boys that he's not really defeated in the wrestling matches they have and everything. We may think like that, but that's coming from the material energy thoughts. understanding the internal potency of the Lord, we get the understanding that is presented here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that indeed the personality of a Godhead forgot himself. That the Lord is not just putting on a show like an actor on a stage taking a role, but is factually submitting himself to his internal potency. This is quite extraordinary. And it's an understanding which only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we're able to enter into an intimate understanding of the nature of the Supreme Lord. That he's willing to submit himself to the internal potency and engage in loving affairs with his devotees. I mean, after all, I think Prabhupada gives the example of the universal form. If you want to love the universal form and express that by dressing the universal form, how are you going to approach that, addressing the universal form? But Krishna accepts the role of the child of Mother Yashoda, and she expresses her love by dressing him very nicely. So this pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu submitting himself to the internal potency, losing himself and enjoying the dancing at Rath Yatra is quite a display of mystic potency of the Supreme Lord. And there are two aspects of that dancing that are important to understand, or at least we can understand from this pastime. First, we're talking already about what? His dancing. The fact that he was dancing separately in each group. But the question becomes then, why was he dancing? He was dancing in a mystic way in each individual group, but why? Why was he dancing? Understanding that means understanding the nature of the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada told us about different types of servants that there are. Do you remember that? What the types of servants? The first class servant is what? First class servants means you don't have to tell them what to do. He knows automatically. Huh? Tadatma, they know the heart of the guru. What is this? Are there three types or two? There's two. There's obviously another one that has to be told. But is it a third one that doesn't do it even after they're told? like myself. So that there are these different types of servants. And so the internal potency of the Lord, Ladini Shakti, doesn't have to be told what to do. First class servant doesn't have to be told what to do. But automatically makes all arrangements, as is described in the verse here today. Automatically makes all arrangements. So that's the kind of servitor that the Supreme Lord is willing to submit himself to, or to forget himself because of. And why? How does that first-class servant know the heart of his master? How does he know the love of his master?
Because he surrendered completely.
Yes.
And he has no
no doubt. Right. What does that others think? Well, how does he know?
The mercy. Same thing, because he's so surrendered that he gets the mercy from the master. The master allows him to.
Okay, so because he's surrendered, he gets the mercy of the master. All these are true. Maintaining an attitude of trust. Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you trust somebody, then you're going to do it. Like, you trust your son. You can go leave the store because, you know, he's there, right? You trust him, right? So he's going to take care of everything. Trust is there. John Masson?
It seems that Prabhupada attributed a lot of his intelligence to his devotee. Yeah. Because he knew that his ability to do so many different things, he was always focused on that, the desire of the spirit.
Desires. Okay, yeah, that's true. Madame?
The reciprocation makes them as one. They share the same thoughts.
Okay, reciprocation makes them as one. The Keshava?
And the spiritual master is pleased and he blesses.
Spiritual master is pleased, he blesses his disciple. Yeah, all of these things mean one four-letter word. What is it? I got to hear it. Right, love. Love, all these things mean love. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Sri Krishna, is willing to submit himself to the internal potency because of love. So these two things go together in understanding the internal potency of the Lord, that we are servants. To the degree to which we can come under the shelter of the internal potency of the Lord, we can do it by being a servant, a first-class servant, who knows what to do, doesn't have to be told what to do, because of a great love for the Supreme Lord. Now that love comes basically in four, five categories. That love is either as a friend, servant, friend, parent, or lover. Some Vaishnavas generally, they impersonal relationship, if you can call it that. It's not given so much emphasis, therefore I say four, starting with Dasha, Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. In these four varieties, we can see, and if we study Krishna's pastimes, as described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll find how Krishna submits himself to his devotees in this way, in these four types of loving exchange. And that's basically what the spiritual world is all about. The Lord exchanging with his devotees love, and the devotees serving the Lord's desire in various ways. So much so that the Lord is willing to submit himself, for he can forget himself in this regard. So you think that might be enough when we're reading this pastime, but there's more. There's more to the internal potency and how it's displaying itself here, which is indicative that there's no end, really, in understanding the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Because if we take, for instance, the understanding that Vrindavanam parijaya tadam ekam nam gacchami. Krishna never, for all eternity, takes a single step out of Vrindavan. This is his eternal abode. So that's a truth about Krishna and how he exchanges with his internal potency. But here the Lord is dancing at Rathyatra. What does Rathiyatra mean? What's the inner meaning of Rathiyatra?
The Vrajavas is meeting with Krishna in a foreign place called Kurukshetra.
Right. And so they're taking Krishna back to Vrindavan, right? By pulling, but he doesn't leave Vrindavan. So how are they taking him back? In the spiritual world, Krishna doesn't leave. He doesn't leave Vrindavan. Here in the material world, the Lord displays his pastimes, and there's an apparent indication that he leaves. But in the spiritual world, that's not there. He doesn't leave. And so if we consider that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing in front of the Rathiyatra cart is an exhibition of his internal potency, then what we have here is the internal potency descending into this material world and displaying some astonishing, wonderful pastimes of the Lord that aren't even displayed in the spiritual world. The fact that Rathiyatra means, the inner meaning of Rathiyatra is the gopis, they're taking Krishna back, means that he left. But that pastime only takes place in the material world. According to my understanding, I thought about this, you know, and had discussions about this, and, you know, so I'm just throwing it out there. I know this is a learned body, and you can correct me or enlighten everyone else with scriptural reference, but it seems to me that this is a special exhibition of the internal potency by showing a pastime of Krishna in this material world. And we know that that happens in other instances too, like there are no pastimes in this spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, of Krishna as a baby and things like that and growing up. He's eternally Navayovanam. But we see in his pastimes in this material world, he appears like a small child and he grows. Special exhibition of the internal potency right in the heart of the material energy. And so it seems that this pastime of Rathiyatra is also indicative of a pastime that's performed by the Supreme Lord in the material energy, and we don't find it in the spiritual, in Goloka Vrindavan, like that. Not that it's not eternal. I heard Bhanu Maharaj explaining, not that it's not eternal, because it's taking place in one universe after another. So it's always existing. But still, there's a special display in the material nature of the internal potency of the Lord. And of course, this expression, what's actually being expressed, is the highest sentiment that one can have for Krishna, which further makes it an amazing, astonishing display of the internal potency. It's displaying separation, vipralamba, the feelings of separation of the gopis with Krishna, which, according to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are the highest experience one can have with the Supreme Lord. So, but it's happening here in the material energy, so-called, not in, but like a lotus leaf that's in the water. It's not touched, but it's there. And so that's what we have. And of course, Rupa Goswami, he was amazed by this. So much astonishment and amazement go around these pastimes. Rupa Goswami was amazed, and therefore he said, Namo Namaha Anandaya, Krishna Prema Padayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tivase Namaha. He was astonished to see that in this age of Kali, which in the material world is the worst of times, this highest love, Krishna Prema, was being given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's quite an astonishing, amazing pastime of the Lord dancing at Rathiatra, if we consider all these things. Anyone have reflections, comments? Yes, Madame Mohamed.
I was thinking of the Bhagavatam nutshell verse, I'm in it, I'm not in it, because the material world, the whole material cosmic, the Mahatap, it's floating in the spiritual sky.
Mm.
So it's in the spiritual sky. But then in the material energy, Krishna's here in the material energy, apparently, you know, it's simultaneously. So he's in it, he's not in it, which is that verse he says, I'm like very far away, very near as well. I'm in everything, I'm not in everything. So simultaneously, you have the material world in the spiritual world, and the spiritual world in the material world. And thank you for giving such an articulation to a difficult subject matter. Wonderful. Amazing.
Anyone else? Thank you.
The verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita actually gives what you explained very nicely, but Prabhupada also put it there. Can you go to Purna Bhagavan Krishna Vrajana Nandan Goloke Brajer Saha Nitya Vihar. Was the translation of problem? We can read together. Lord Krishna, the son of the king of Braja, is the supreme Lord. He eternally enjoys transcendental pastime in his eternal abode, Goloka, which includes Brajadham. Brajadham cannot be separated from the Golok Vrindavan. And then Prabhupada gives part about it.
It's very sweet. So I don't know. Because here it says Golok Dham, including Brajadham.
Mm. Okay. Do you want to give a, let's see if there are other comments, otherwise you give a brief synopsis of the purport to this verse.
What I understand from Jiva Goswami Pad Sandarbha, that there is no birth in Golok, in eternal abode. But the mother Jasod, then he gave the parental mellow, transcendental mellow, cannot be completely nourished without being birthed past times.
Mm.
So because Krishna is eager to have complete rasa experience, he wants to taste every bit of it, so the birth lila has to take place.
So it takes place in...
Yeah, but not in the eternal abode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this includes that. That's how Krishna
very nice. Yes, yeah, so it includes it. So it's thank you. It's wonderful. Anything else? Yes.
The discussion is it is and it isn't. About Lord Chaitanya, it describes so many times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita we were reading in our CC reading, that how Lord Chaitanya is an internal consciousness, but yet he comes into the... He's in internal and external consciousness. He loses himself, but then sometimes the CC describes that how he sees the devotees there, or and he gets out of that consciousness and brings himself, stop doing his ecstasies that he goes through, and he controls himself. So when you read those readings, it's like, wow, is Lord Chaitanya lost himself? Or did he not lose himself? Because then he's somewhat aware of the external.
Mm.
So he's in the internal consciousness, and yet he's somewhat aware of the externals.
That's interesting, because when he comes out, sometimes, even though we're talking about love as an ingredient for this whole thing, when he comes out, he's upset. Why did you chant? I was, you know, just entering the cave with Radha and Krishna. So he's upset with them. So, yes, Jamastin.
we're talking primarily about how Krishna functions under his internal potency, but there's also quite a few descriptions of how Krishna's devotee, he can be under the Antaranga Shakti. And then there also for us sadhakas, we can do different things that will bring us under the internal energy, and if we don't do them, then we're under the external energy. One interesting thought that occurred to me as you were speaking, things are automatically arranged when we're in the internal energy. And then we see the life of Srila Prabhupada, like before he came to America. And then it's like everything was so difficult. You know, it was like 40 years of struggling to execute the order of his spiritual master. We can't really say that he was under the external energy. There was like a major arrangement that I guess was in play at the time, you know, that this would bring him to America, and so many miraculous things would just automatically take place. So I guess what I'm kind of getting at and inquiring, how is it that we can really perceive whether we're in the under the Antaranga Shakti or the Bahiranga Shakti? I mean, it's not necessarily that things really get done. I mean, when one's really fired up on book distribution, he can feel it, you know, and then everything just kind of works. But I wonder if you have some thoughts about this. I have quite a few references about transforming the external energy into the internal energy and how to function within that. But
well, one thing is that I don't think in Ruchira, Mataji was giving this example yesterday about how Mother Yashoda, she seems to be suffering at times when Krishna either goes out to the pasturing grounds or whatever, or when she's separated from Krishna. She was making the point that it's not suffering. And so I think that in a devotee's life, you gave the example of Srila Prabhupada, in his life, it's not like the difficulties, and not that they weren't experienced as difficulties, they were experienced as difficulties, but it's not that they were thrown by the material energy. How do we detect the difference? Well, what happens when we're discouraged materially and we often give up or we often complain? The response of perseverance and remaining faithful generally aren't there when we're experiencing material discouraging situations. But how do we understand it spiritual? By, just like Prabhupada in his life, he got the order from his spiritual master when he first met him. It was reconfirmed right at the end. And he dedicated his whole life, despite discouragement of family, loss in business, physical injury, discouragement from others, spirituals, in terms of his godbrothers. In spite of all that, he was very determined and didn't lose enthusiasm. Indeed, he was, even after he came to America and he was struggling alone, he wrote one letter to his godbrothers. I am not one to be easily discouraged. I mean, his whole life was discouragement for fulfilling his mission, but that didn't stop him. So therefore, we can understand that he was under the spiritual potency of the Lord, not under material influence, because material influence has a different effect on us. That's what I would say. So why don't we end there? Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai.